This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone. And welcome to your source for what's really happening in the nation's capital. This is Washington Watch. By the way, you may have heard that background noise. That was not my kids applauding the program. This is a special edition of Washington Watch. This program is coming to you live from the Family Research Council Spring Faith and Family Summit, which is a gathering of FRC supporters from across the nation. So, this afternoon, we have a live... Well, they look alive. We have a live audience, so we got a great program for you today. You would not know that the murder trial of Kermit Gosnell, who is charged with killing seven babies and one young mother, is in its fourth week. How many of you knew that? Well, the reason you probably did not know that is the media is not reporting it. Why is that? Why is the media silent on what Kirsten Powers says should shock anyone with a heart? I'll have the answer later in the program. And what are America's greatest security threats? Hamas, Al-Qaeda? Not according to recent statements by U.S. Army officials. Some Army officers suggest the military should be just as concerned with evangelical Christians and Catholics. Are these rogue officers? This latest attack on Christianity by the Obama military may be a bridge too far. Now, a number of congressmen are demanding answers from the Secretary of the Army. Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, who is leading this effort, joins me in just a moment. Despite being victorious in the Supreme Court case in the year 2000, over their right to set their own standards for membership, the Boy Scouts of America are once again at the center of the culture wars. On May 23rd, 1,450 delegates to the Boy Scouts of America's annual convention in Texas will vote on a resolution regarding open homosexuality within the Scouts. Corporate elites and homosexual activists are exerting maximum pressure to force the Scouts to change their long-standing policy. The Chief Scout Executive for the Middle Tennessee Council, Hugh Travis, will join me with the latest. Also, Congressman Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma stops in for a discussion on the president's budget and the threat of the Obamacare mandate. Can we count on Congress to get religion in time to protect ours? You'll have the answer for us. All of that, plus some good news out of today's meeting of the RNC in California. As always, you can send me a message at tonyperkins.com, or you can email me directly, tony@tonyperkins.com. By the way, if you go to the website, tonyperkins.com, you can sign up there for our daily update, which comes out Monday through Friday, a couple of quick issues that you can read and find out what's happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, yesterday on the program, Todd Starnes of Fox News was on the show talking about the story that he broke this week regarding a U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Jack Rich, who in an email to his subordinates attacked the Family Research Council and the American Family Association, calling us domestic hate groups. Now, this is just the latest in a string of attacks on Christianity by the military. It's disturbing, but it's there. Well, and last week it was revealed that the Army, in a briefing on, quote, religious extremism, evangelical Christians and Catholics were at the top of the list. Congressman Doug Lamborn, along with a number of his colleagues, sent a letter to the Secretary of the Army requesting and demanding an apology for these recent attacks on Christians. He's now joining us by phone. Congressman Lamborn represents Colorado's 5th Congressional District. He serves on the National Resources, Armed Services, and Veteran Affairs Committee, and he's been a leader on issues related to the family and to our nation's military. He's a member of the Republican Study Committee and is also a True Blue recipient for his principled stand on faith, family, and freedom from FRC Action. And actually, he's a longtime friend of mine. I knew him before he came to Congress back when we both served in the state legislatures, and Congressman Lamborn and his wife Jeannie have 5 children, and he's a great American, and we're glad to welcome him to the program. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, Congressman, can you tell our listeners a little bit about this Army briefing and what you're calling on the Secretary of the Army to do?
Okay. Like you said, it was a briefing given to reserve members of the Army, and they did some kind of notification on what constituted religious extremism. And they got their information from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, although it professes to be promoting tolerance, they can be extremely intolerant themselves. And the evidence for that is they lumped religious extremists like you would expect, the KKK, Al-Qaeda, groups like that, threw in with those extremist groups, mainstream groups like evangelical Christians with no qualification on that term, Catholics, Jews, Sunni Muslims. And we're talking about members in the hundreds of millions of mainstream religious adherents in the United States, not to mention the entire world, who are being called extremists. Now, we've got our hands on the actual PowerPoint that was being used. Some members in the Army, I don't have it pinned down, Tony, exactly who did this, but we do know that the slides were offensive to some who saw them in this PowerPoint. They got a hold of some in the media. It found its way to myself. And so, Tony, I started circulating a letter. We now have 40 congressmen who have joined with me in outrage at this, and we're sending a letter to John McHugh, the Secretary of the Army, saying this must cease and desist immediately.
You know, Congressman, the first thought that comes to mind, the evangelicals, Catholics, Jews, I mean, who's left? Who is not considered an extremist by this administration? I mean, this is quite outrageous. And I know yesterday there was a hearing in which the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, appeared before the House Armed Services Committee. And I know Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia grilled the Secretary of Defense regarding this string of attacks on religious liberty in the military. And the Secretary of Defense said he didn't know anything about it.
Well, Randy Forbes is a great stalwart, my colleague from Virginia, and he does a wonderful job of monitoring these issues, and I join with him on all of these. And, yes, the Secretary of Defense should know what's happening within the environs of the department that he monitors. And if, for some reason, something has escaped his attention, if it is brought to his attention, he should jump on it immediately. So maybe John McHugh, the Secretary of the Army, maybe he didn't know anything about this. And we'll give him that benefit of the doubt, but the proof will be in that we want action to take place to take these down immediately.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, with a special edition of Washington Watch. We're coming to you live from our Spring Faith and Family Summit, a gathering of our supporters from across the nation here in Washington, D.C. And I'm joined by Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. And we're discussing a recent string of revelations about members of the military targeting evangelicals, Catholics, and other religious-oriented individuals as being threats or extremists to national security. Congressman, I know we've had these discussions a number of times, and there has been this steady stream of these incidents that have been marginalizing people of faith or displaying hostility toward members of the faith in the military. Is there a growing concern among those in Congress that something has gone terribly wrong in our nation's military under this administration?
Well, there is a disturbing series of incidents, Tony, where these kinds of anti-religious, I would say intolerant, acts have taken place. Now, this latest one, I think, can be brought to the laid at the door of the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's a great story on the cover of Weekly Standard this week, the current issue, about this organization. And they profess to monitor extremism. And if they were talking about the KKK, Al-Qaeda, obviously that's the job that they say they do. But when they lump in hundreds of millions of Americans into these same category as those narrow, extremist, radical groups, something has gone wrong. And they've made those kinds of, I think, intolerant statements in the past as well. So this particular incident, those can be traced back to that. But we do, Tony, have to be vigilant about other parts of the military where they have told chaplains that they can't act under the freedom of conscience according to the tenets of their faith, and they have to toe the line, some kind of politically correct line that may be not in sync with biblical teaching as a chaplain may see it. So, yeah, there is a disturbing pattern here, and we have to constantly be vigilant.
You know, Congressman, the fact that you're saying that the Southern Poverty Law Center is where the source of this is coming from, that's very disturbing that our nation's military under President Obama is taking its orders from a left-wing organization that clearly has a political agenda. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center is the organization that was linked in federal court to domestic terrorism. They were linked to the shooting that took place at the Family Research Council, and that's made reference to in this Weekly Standard article that you just mentioned. I would think that at some point in time, this administration should be held to account as to where they're getting their information and the fact that a group such as the Southern Poverty Law Center can give direction to our nation's military officers.
Well, you're exactly right, Tony. No one should even give them the time of the day. Now, they have freedom of speech. Let them do their own thing. But no one, especially an institution as widely respected as the U.S. Army or the military in general, should not listen to them, should not take their marching orders from these people. It shows, at the best, it shows an appalling lack of discernment and understanding of what the real issues are. And at worst, it shows a bias where some people would embrace that kind of extremism on their part.
Well, Congressman, thanks so much for leading the effort. What can folks, our listeners, do across the country? What can they do to help give some lift to this effort that you're behind in getting the Secretary of the Army to respond to this letter?
Well, we're going to monitor the response, make sure that something is done, and if there's a problem there, then we need to talk sometime in the near future. But I'm going to assume and hope that at least this initial incident is not repeated. And, Tony, I would just ask for everyone to pray for our country. We're at some really important crossroads. There are threats from abroad. There are serious issues we're dealing with in Congress concerning the future of our country in a lot of different ways. I would just ask for every listener within the sound of our voices to lift their voices in prayer and ask that God protect and guide and direct our nation and deliver us from misunderstanding and confusion and chaos and get us back on the traditional track that we've enjoyed for so many years.
Well, Congressman, I can assure you our folks are praying and they will continue to pray. And thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill, and thank you for joining us today for Washington Watch.
Always good to talk to you.
Congressman Doug Lamborn of the 5th Congressional District of Colorado. When we come back, some good news from the RNC meeting in California today, and mum's the word from the media on the Kermit Gosnell trial. Also, we'll be talking about the Boy Scouts and what may be on the path ahead for them. Don't go away. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Hi, I'm Anna with the Family Research Council, and I'd like to introduce a new mobile app for Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. As you know, we are committed to providing a behind-the-scenes look at what is really happening in our nation's capital. And to help you stay better informed, Washington Watch is now available on iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. Just go to the App Store and search Tony Perkins to download the app. Did you know that the current House of Representatives is the most conservative ideologically in modern history? Knowing that, you might ask, then why don't the policies coming out of Washington reflect a conservative viewpoint? For answers to that question and many other topics concerning life, marriage, and religious liberty, download the radio app today to listen live or get 24-hour access to past shows. Again, just search Tony Perkins in your app store. We look forward to you listening, and one of these days, call in and join the conversation.
Where can you find Muscular Christianity these days? Where can you find a radio host that works out with the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other? Focal Point with Brian Fisher is fearlessly running to the front lines in the battle against the separation of truth and state. So, if you're tired of a weak-kneed, lukewarm message, then Focal Point is the show for you.
Join me each weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Central for some Muscular Christianity, and remember, we are fighting a winnable war.
But Mr. President, don't you think
in the White House briefing room and on a public sidewalk,
inside a corporate boardroom and outside a clinic,
there's a clash of worldviews in America. You see it everywhere.
In the halls of Congress,
on a college campus,
and on a military base,
in front of City Hall,
and across a billboard,
and from the church pulpit.
AFR Talk is here to sort it all out. Keep listening on your radio, online, or on your smartphone when you download the AFR Talk app.
Because you give, AFR Talk is able to keep America informed.
This is Ron in Independence, Kansas. All I can say is, wow. As a matter of fact, I can say that backwards. Say, wow. Brother Don, Brother Tim, well, Tim was just a little young when I first started here in American Family, when we lived in Wichita, Kansas, 30-some years ago. And they have impacted our lives tremendously in various ways. Now that they got AFR Talk, it's just absolutely awesome what AFA has done, not just for us, but for the entire Christian community. They are to be given pat on the back, handshake, hug over the phone, whatever we can do to let them know how much we appreciate what they have done. And I would just like to let you know we appreciate the job you're doing and keep up the good work.
Financial gifts from listeners like you during our Share-a-thon allow us to continue to impact lives. Share-a-thon, April 16th, 17th, and 18th. AFR Talks, Call to Stand. With courage.
Happening in the nation's capital, I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us for this special edition. That was not the applause app on my iPhone. That was actually a live audience we have here at the Faith and Family Summit. It's a spring gathering of supporters from the Family Research Council from around the country, and they're here this weekend in Washington, D.C. Beautiful, beautiful week here. The cherry blossoms in full bloom. Lost a few of them today as a storm blew through, but been a great week here. And thanks so much for joining us. Still a lot to come on the program. We're going to be talking about the Boy Scouts, also talking about the president's budget. Congressman Jim Bridenstine will be joining me to talk about that in the third segment. But some good news in the good news column. How many of you like to hear a little good news? Yeah? All right, a little good news. All right, we always have good news. We always have good news. Might be what's on the menu for dinner, but it's good news, all right? On Wednesday, we had the Republican National Committeeman Dave Ajima of Michigan on the program. In fact, the left-wing blogs did what they do so well. They distorted his statements that he made on this program and went after him. But that did not deter Dave. At a meeting of the Republican National Committee in California earlier today, Dave succeeded in passing a resolution reaffirming the party's support for natural marriage. How about that? Congratulations, Dave. Now, he passed this reaffirming the party's platform, which, by the way, the FRC action team, I helped write as I was a delegate to the platform committee this past year. These are non-negotiable issues, the issue of life, the issue of marriage. And there's some concern because the Republicans came out with what they called their autopsy, their growth and way forward project. I call it a pathway to a permanent minority if they move away from these core non-negotiable issues. But I applaud what the RNC committee did in California today. That is a good sign. But I will continue to say this until the leadership of the RNC gives equal support to the party's stand on social issues as it does fiscal issues. I will continue to encourage people not to give money to any of the national Republican entities. Support the state parties, support the good conservative candidates, support the PACs that support good candidates. But until we hear from the national Republican leaders the fact that they, too, along with the rank and file, agree with the duly adopted platform of the Republicans, they're not getting any of my money, and I would encourage you not to give them any of yours either. Well, you probably would not know it from the mainstream media's coverage of the Kermit Gosnell murder trial. This, as I'm going to quote here, is from World Magazine's coverage, which, by the way, World Magazine has done a great job covering it. They've been there in the courtroom. Plenty of seating in the media section because nobody from the media is there. But World Magazine, they have a website dedicated to this, so kudos to World Magazine for being on top of this. This comes from their coverage of it. So I'm quoting this. On Thursday, the prosecution called to the witness stand Ashley Baldwin, 22 years old, who was 15 when she started working at Gosnell's abortion facility in 2006, a job she held until the FBI raided it in February of 2010. At first cleaning and manning the front desk, by age 17, Baldwin was dispensing anesthesia and operating the ultrasound machine, even during abortion procedures. She spoke flatly of her observations while assisting the abortionist Gosnell. Quote, they would come out, he would snip the neck, he would ask me to pass him one of the curettes and turn on the machine and suction, and he would suck out the brains. Some of them were like bruised. Some of them were full babies with nothing wrong with them, end quote. Ashley's mother, Tina Baldwin, who has pleaded guilty to corrupting a minor, worked at the abortion center first. Ashley's high school signed off on her arrangement as part of a work release project by which she divided her education between school and an internship under Gosnell, end quote. Earlier in the investigation, Stephen Massoff, who was also hired by Gosnell despite his lack of medical training, his statement sent shivers down the people's spines when he described the busy times. This is quoting from Stephen. He said, quote, it would rain fetuses in blood all over the place. In those moments, Massoff confessed, I felt like a fireman in hell. I couldn't put out all the flames, end quote. Babies born alive in abortion clinics. You know, we're told that, oh, that doesn't happen. This idea of the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that, in fact, was up last week in Florida and Planned Parenthood came out in opposition to it. They're saying this doesn't happen. Well, according to Massoff, it's more common than you might think. He estimated that at least 100 babies were born alive in this single clinic who had their necks snipped in what he described as literally a beheading. These killings became so routine, he said, or another employee said, that no one could put an exact number on them. They were considered standard procedure. And what's become standard procedure for the major networks is to ignore this gut-wrenching story. And why is that? Why is it that the media doesn't want to put a spotlight on this trial? Been going on for 4 weeks, the investigation, the grand jury investigation into this. You read it, it is a horror novel. Unbelievable what took place inside the walls of this clinic under the noses of investigators for the state that did absolutely nothing to stop this monster. So why is it that the media would ignore this? Well, I believe it's clearly because the media doesn't want the country to see the culture that they have helped create. If they were really concerned about the truth, they would be there covering this story. Well, our friends at the Media Research Center have been doing a great job for holding the media accountable for their silence, and my hat's off to Brent Bozell and the Media Research Center and the other Christian outlets who have not let this story go by the wayside. Well, the Boy Scouts of America has long been one of America's greatest treasures. The organization is a leader in training boys to be men of honor, dignity, respect, and integrity. to love God and to do good to others. But the foundational principles on which the Boy Scouts of America stand are once again being threatened. Here to talk about this is Hugh Travis. Hugh is the Chief Scout Executive for the Middle Tennessee Council of the Boy Scouts of America in Middle Tennessee. Over 38,000 youth and adults participate in one of the scouting's several programs. Hugh has served the Scouts since 1976. Hugh is an Eagle Scout, as are both of his sons. Over the past 3 months, Hugh has been a leading advocate for keeping what the Scouts themselves have called open and avowed homosexuality out of scouting. His courageous work with his peers and colleagues across the country has made a tremendous difference in the battle to protect America's greatest youth organization from the extreme left. So help me welcome Hugh Travis to the program. Well, Hugh, good to see you, and welcome to Washington Watch. And just for the benefit of our listeners, I know we've talked about this on the program quite a bit, but set the stage for our listeners as to what is taking place with the Boy Scouts of America.
First, Tony, thank you. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be with you and the audience and your radio audience. To set the stage, the Boy Scouts is currently in a listening mode to study a potential policy change, and that policy change would be simply to allow local choice of avowed and open homosexuals into their units. And we're going through that process now, preparing a report back to the National Executive Board and officers. The officers meet next week. We'll prepare a resolution, which will be voted on in May by the overall body of our membership.
Now, this issue was back in 2000 before the Supreme Court, and the Boy Scouts actually won by a 5-4 decision, which said they have a right as a private organization to set their membership standards. In fact, last summer in July, not quite a year ago, after a 2-year study, the Boy Scouts themselves came to the conclusion that it is in the best interest of the Scouts and of the scouting organization to maintain its current policy prohibiting open homosexuality within the Scouts. But then less than 6 months later, they decide they're going to change it. What's behind that?
Well, those of us in the field felt the matter was taken care of. And unbeknownst, there were three key people within our organization that were preparing a resolution to be voted on by the officers. Thanks to FRC, your network, those of us out in the field who got wind of it, the public made their voices known and quite honestly turned the tide. Then the officers realized what was created, and as a result of that, the outpouring of support for scouting and for its traditional values, they felt that it would take time to do a listening period and then take a full vote in May.
Now, clearly, I know you've dedicated your entire life to scouting. Others like you, and I've traveled the country talking with those in scouting. I've not heard, now, maybe I'm not hanging out in the right places, but I'm not hearing a demand from scouts to change their policy. It sounds like this is coming from special interest groups. What I'm hearing from the conversations I have had regarding this, and there's been many of those conversations, is that there's a lot of corporate pressure being applied from the contributions that the corporate entities make that tend to have more liberal policies, what they call diversity policies, like UPS. I had a conversation with UPS last year when they came out and said they were withholding their money. I called. I actually sent a letter first and said, well, you know, what's this about? We do business with you. And they called. Surprising, I got a call. I got a call from the vice president of diversity. I knew that wasn't going to go well when I got the title. And we had a conversation, and it was $80,000 that they gave the Boy Scouts. It just so happens we did $80,000 worth of business with the Boy Scouts. We no longer do that with the Boy Scouts. But a lot of these left-wing corporations are exerting pressure on the Scouts to change their policy, as well as homosexual activists. Where do the parents and the Scouts factor in?
Particularly in Middle Tennessee, we were able to survey our populace, and there's some in the audience from Tennessee, go Tennesseans, and we certainly made our voices known.
That was kind of weak. That was kind of weak.
If I could say Texas, maybe.
Okay. Let's not start a civil war here.
Right, I'm sorry. There are not many from D.C. here. No, I won't go there. But I would say
there's a sequester at the border there. They can't get in.
But Tony, no, the issue of sexuality is just not a part of our program. We're very uncomfortable having a discussion on it. It's when we talk about the Boy Scout handbook and delivery of the handbook to children, all we ask a leader to do is to deliver that, be a good role model and present the program. We still believe that the Boy Scouts of America is still the foremost youth organization in the world. Character development, leadership training, citizenship, that's what we do. In Middle Tennessee, 95-5 was the percentage of those who are opposed to any change. That's also occurred throughout the southern region. In fact, of the 90 councils across the southern region, nearly 80 of those councils said, we do not want to change. I'm optimistic that that's going to be a attitude and a spirit throughout the country. And in May, if the Lord wills, we certainly are hopeful that we will be able to continue the 103-year history of the Boy Scouts and serving our youth.
Well, there's a lot of work to do between now and then, and before we run out of time, I want to make sure I give out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Hugh Travis with me from the Middle Tennessee region of the Scouts. He's the executive director there. On the website are a couple of links that are very important on this issue. Go to TonyPerkins.com. There's a link to On My Honor, which is a website of a group of Scouts that are supporting this effort to preserve the longstanding moral policy of the Scouts. You can find out how you can be a part of that, and take note of this. Write this down. May the 5th, Sunday night, May the 5th, the Family Research Council will be teaming up with the American Family Radio Network and others to bring a simulcast, a special one-hour program beginning 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Stand with Scouts Sunday. This is being simulcasted into churches across the nation. That is May the 5th. You can sign up your church by going to TonyPerkins.com and following the links. We're almost out of time, Hugh, and I want to ask you this because you mentioned some of the things that would be changing if the Boy Scouts jettisoned this longstanding policy. The curriculum would have to be changed. So all of a sudden, this issue of sexuality, which parents say, I'd rather talk about on my conditions with my children and not be interjected around a campfire. But there's also the concern that what's happened in the UK, once they went down this path of opening the door to sexuality, they said hello to homosexuality, and they're now saying goodbye to God. So that fundamental element may not last long.
That's true. If we give up our ability to set leadership standards, we're not sure where that'll end. Before we depart, though, Tony, I wanted you to know, on behalf of the Boy Scouts, and particularly Middle Tennessee, the partnership with FRC has been critically important in our ability to get the message out to your listeners, to this audience. Humbly, I say thank you. Continue to pray for our organization. Continue to support FRC and the partnership that occurs with Scouting. I truly cannot overemphasize the role you and the organization played in getting us to where we are and hopefully where we will be.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Hugh. Thank you so much for your leadership on this. And folks, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Be a part of Standing with the Scouts. Don't go away. When we come back, Congressman Jim Bridenstine from Oklahoma joins us right after this break.
Hey, if George Washington had not been born, chances are you wouldn't be listening to me right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Mount Vernon, home of George Washington, in June and September on our spiritual heritage tours. We look at the Christian heritage, the Christian history of the United States of America, especially in our nation's capital and, as I said, Mount Vernon. We'll see the Capitol building, the Arlington National Cemetery, where we'll see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown, the National Cathedral, the Lincoln, the Jefferson Memorials, the World War II Memorial, and much, much more, including the Supreme Court and the Library of Congress. For all the information on these tours, call us for a free brochure at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES, or go online at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
AFR Talk with a look at our nation's weather. Here's AFR meteorologist Barbie Bassett.
Drenching rain will move along the East Coast, while some will see snow and freezing rain across the northeastern Great Lakes up to Maine. This will cause travel delays and slow commutes this afternoon, so be prepared. Snow will be sporadic across the northern plains and Wisconsin, while the South sees the pleasant evenings back in their forecast. I'm meteorologist Barbie Bassett for the American Family Radio Network.
Power and control. Two words that aren't always used to describe our online experience, especially when we're using our smartphone. Mobile WebGuard is designed to give us the power and control to help us avoid the dark side of the internet when we're using our iPhone or Android phone. It contains features like blacklist and whitelist checking, history tracking, and more to protect you and your family from nasty surprises on Wi-Fi or cell networks. All of the details are available at mobilewebguard.com/AFA.
Because of your generosity, AFR Talk is here to motivate others to action.
AFR and FA gave me great insight of what's going on through our nation and throughout the world, to the point to where I step up and I move harder than I ever have, because it inspires me to fight the good fight of faith and don't give up.
I'm a retired grandmother from West Tennessee. I almost always listen to American Family Radio. It helps me keep up with what's going on in the world today from a Christian standpoint. It is a scary thing to think that most people get their information from ABC or NBC or CBS or just talk shows. Christians need to wake up and purposely seek the truth and be informed on what's really going on. Thank you, AFR, and keep up the good work.
The AFR Talk Share-a-thon is April 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's a call to stand with courage.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. It's special because we've got a lot of special people here. We're right here in a front of a live audience for the Spring Faith and Family Summit of the Family Research Council. We've got friends and supporters from across the country here this weekend, and so we're doing this program live in front of that audience. We are going to be getting to a few questions here in just a moment. I got a couple of things to address here. I think I misspoke in the previous segment. I was talking about UPS. We no longer do business with UPS. I said we no longer do business with the BSA, but that was BS. That was UPS, I meant. General, that was a handwritten note from General Boykin. That will be on his employee review in the next quarter. Well, look, today we're facing so many tough battles here in D.C. You know, the budget crisis, the identity of the Republican Party, the definition of marriage. You know, today I have a guest with me who knows how to fight tough battles, especially here in Washington, Congressman Jim Bridenstine. Congressman Bridenstine represents Oklahoma's 1st Congressional District. He is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. And by the way, he's also an Eagle Scout. How about that? That worked out well. In the Navy, he became a pilot who flew combat missions, including during Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, Operation Southern Watch in Iraq, and Operation Shock and Awe in Iraq. He was recently promoted to the rank of Lieutenant Commander in the U.S. Navy Reserves to help support America's war on drugs. He is a part of the House Armed Services Committee, as well as the Missile Defense and Cybersecurity Caucus. Congressman Bridenstine currently lives with his wife and three children in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and represents Oklahoma's 1st Congressional District, as I mentioned. And he's been on the program a number of times because he is one of those true patriots that is fighting for faith, family, and freedom. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I know this is probably unusual for you to be in Washington and actually be in front of a friendly crowd. But this is these are true Americans here, true American patriots who support faith, family, and freedom. So a very friendly crowd for you. I want to ask you a couple of questions before we get to questions from our audience. This week, 66 days late, the president delivered his budget to Congress. Supposed to be on the 1st of February. I guess he was still counting his money, couldn't get it here in time. Your thoughts on the president's budget?
Well, I guess, first of all, it almost seems irrelevant at this point because it is so late. The House has passed a budget. The Senate has passed a budget. And so now it's going to go to conference committee. And really, the question is, if you're going to send us a budget that late, you know, really, what's the point? But the big thing that I think is important and what I like to talk about as far as being a conservative Republican is how his budget adversely affects the very people he purports to want to help. What I'm saying is his budget doesn't balance. It never balances. It continues trillion-dollar deficits. And this hurts the very people that he always says he wants to help. When you have a trillion-dollar deficit, you have to. What we're doing right now as a nation is we are printing money. We are creating money out of thin air. We're taking that newly created money to buy the treasury securities that fund our government. And when you do that, you devalue the U.S. dollar. And so when you take that newly printed money and you buy those newly printed treasury bonds, you drive up the price of bonds artificially. The coupon stays the same. So interest rates are lower in the market than they otherwise would be. And those low interest rates are reflected through pretty much all the entire bond market. So if you're a senior right now and you're on fixed income, you're trying to get yield in order to sustain your standard of living. You know, and if that yield is only 2%, it makes it very difficult. So a lot of seniors are coming out of retirement only to find that there's no job market there. A lot of seniors are choosing not to retire. So this adversely affects the people that he purports to want to help the most, and not only on the fixed income side, but when you print the money to buy the bonds that fund the government, you devalue the U.S. dollar, you create inflation. If you look at the price of food, if you look at the price of housing, if you look at the price of gasoline, none of these items are included in the measurement of inflation that the Federal Reserve uses. But all of those items, the prices on those items are going up. And that is adversely affecting not only those seniors on fixed income who are squeezed on the income side, they're also squeezed on the price side. But if you look at the working poor, or you look at the middle class or the poor, those families use the biggest percentage of their budgets on the items that are the most basic necessities of life. And the prices on all of those things are going up. So the president's policies of trillion-dollar deficits, it's not stimulating the economy, but it is adversely affecting the very people that he purports to want to help the
and
most.
And it becomes this vicious cycle, because what happens is they have less means economically to provide for their family. They become more dependent upon government, which then requires an expansion and growth of government, and it just begins to snowball.
That's right. And if you look at what the president is doing, not only in his budget, but what he's done in the last 4 years, if you look at Obamacare, the expansion of Medicaid, the creation of the state exchanges, we are creating a further constituency of dependency that is not good for families in the United States of America.
And I don't think most people realize this, but his budget as he has proposed, which as you mentioned never balances, and it relies on about $550 billion in deficit spending for this year. It is a 25% increase over what the budget was in 2009.
That's right.
I mean, that's a quarter growth in just a five-year period. That is astronomical, and there's no way that we can continue to sustain that type of budgetary growth.
That's absolutely right. And this is what's so important. People in the United States Congress need to lead on this. I voted for the Paul Ryan budget. And to be quite frank, you know, I wasn't real keen on voting on that myself. It took a lot of thought and prayer to come to that position, because it continues the increase in spending, or it continues the increase in government by 3.6% per year.
But it does balance in a 10-year period, the end
it does,
of 10 years.
It does, and there are some assumptions in there that I probably don't agree with. But what it does do, first of all, there's no funding for Obamacare in it. Second of all, it blocked grants, Medicaid to the states, which helps the states get control of Medicaid. And it provides premium support for Medicare. And these are some big ideas that are going to be necessary. Look, the entitlements have to be reformed if we're going to get our country back on track. And so what the Paul Ryan budget does is it takes control of those measures in a way that is very meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so I was a yes vote on that, and I was proud to be that.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma. And we're going to be taking some questions here in just a moment. So if you've got a question, you can begin making your way to the microphone. Now, I'm not talking to you driving down the interstate. I'm talking to the people here in the audience at the Faith and Family Summit here in Washington, D.C. Congressman, I want to shift gears a little bit, moving away from the budget. Obviously, you've intimidated everyone. They're not coming to the microphones to speak and ask questions. But I want to shift gears away from the budget, and I want to ask you a question. A lot of saber rattling out of North Korea. The sequestration, reducing military funding, a lot of concern about military readiness. Where do you think we stand from a standpoint of national security right now?
Well, and this goes right back to the Obama administration. We have seen this administration take missile defense funding down $6 billion since this administration took office. $6 billion. In the most recent budget, it brings missile defense down another $600 million. And if you look at what the president said on his campaign when he met with President Medvedev from Russia, the president was telling, hey, relay to Vladimir Putin that this is my last election. And after this election, I'll have more flexibility on missile defense. Well, shortly after being reelected, what did he do? He took the SM-3 missiles, Block 2B missiles, which are, the intercontinental ballistic missile, defense system, and they restructured it in a way that it's going to delay the implementation of those systems in Europe. So this president hasn't been serious about missile defense at all. And if you look, Ronald Reagan said, peace through strength. And I've heard other people say, and it's absolutely true, that weakness is provocative.
Absolutely.
And if you look at what we have done as a nation, we have weakened ourselves on missile defense. And if you look at what countries across the world are doing, whether it's Iran or North Korea, they are strengthening their capacities to launch missiles. They're doing it intentionally because they know where we're weak. Weakness is provocative, and this is a big problem. And it's not just Iran and North Korea. If you look at the cruise missile threat across the world, it is worse than it's ever been. Missile defense is something we should absolutely be investing in as a nation. And mm-hmm. I think just as importantly, his budget, cut missile defense for Israel. And if you look at the size of Israel, a weapon launched at Israel is extremely dangerous. We need to be helping them with their missile defense. So this budget that the president proposed is very problematic. I'm happy to say that it seems to be irrelevant because it was so late. And I'm going to be working, to help the components of the Paul Ryan budget get implemented.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined this segment by Congressman Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma. And I would be normally at this point, I would say I'm going to go to the phones, but I'm not going to go to the phones. I'm going to go to the microphones for a question. Go ahead. William, identify yourself and your state.
I'm William Morgan. I'm from the great state of Tennessee.
Excellent.
Congressman, thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you.
One thing that keeps me awake at night, the Defense of Marriage Act that's currently before the Supreme Court. On this very radio program, I heard one of Tony's experts talking about standing issues. We talk a lot about standing. And he said that the Supreme Court may rule that your House of Representatives, who is the person that was there defending the Defense of Marriage Act before the Supreme Court because President Obama would not defend it, a lot of talk that the Supreme Court may decide that you do not have the standing to be there to defend it. As much as it scares me to death them overturning DOMA, it scares me even more to think that the U.S. Supreme Court could grant President Obama the ability to decide what laws he wants to say are constitutional or not.
Right.
And if he says you don't have standing to be there, then suddenly President Obama can find a court like the Plan B case that's right now a district court said Plan B can be handed out to kindergartners.
Right.
And if Obama says, well, I agree with that ruling, I'm not going to defend it anymore, the Supreme Court gives them carte blanche to say, okay, that's the law. So my question is, am I off base in that analysis? And if I'm not, what can you in the House and what can Tony, you do to get the word out to the American people that the Supreme Court is going to destroy themselves if they rule that way?
Right. So the judicial activism that you're talking about is really problematic for us as a body of Congress, quite frankly. And this is one of the problems we have in our nation right now. You've got two different political ideologies, and we're constantly at war with each other. And whichever party or philosophy wins, they rule over the other party or philosophy. And in this case, it seems to me that the wrong side, from my perspective, is winning, and they will rule over us as a nation. That was never what the Founding Fathers intended, if you read the Constitution of the United States. They gave us very specific provisions in Article 1, Section 8, that allowed Congress, you know, certain powers. And it's really what separates the United States of America from any other, you know, dictatorship or any other, you know, king or monarchy. The idea that we have 50 laboratories of experimentation, where the state of Oklahoma can have its own laws on marriage and a different state can have a different law on marriage, and we don't have to, as a state, recognize what other states do with their marriages. We don't have to do that. That was what was intended by the framers of our Constitution, that we would have that authority. And instead what we get, we get, you know, an overzealous federal government that wants to control everything from Washington, D.C., and this is exactly what you end up with. You end up with warring parties, and look, there's what is the ramification? The ramification is the state of Oklahoma, my state, my home state, needs to stand up and say, look, we're not going to accept these marriages. And I think that's an important philosophy that we need to recognize, that Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and this is important, when you think about power in general, power, in a monarchy, the only power an individual has is the power that is delegated to that individual by the monarch. In the United States of America, the power is with the people. And the only power that the federal government has is the power that was granted to it by the states. And the only power that the states have is the power that was granted to them by the people. So we have to make a decision as a nation. And I think our Supreme Court needs to understand this. And that is, you know, do we want to be that kind of power where everything is centralized in a far distant capital, or do we want to be that decentralized power where we have 50 laboratories of experimentation? And I think that's probably, you know, my answer to that. We've got to get back to federalism, and I think that's good for both parties.
And that was on display, actually, in the Oklahoma House of Representatives, where earlier this week they voted unanimously to affirm DOMA once again.
Absolutely.
So that's where it lies. But you're absolutely right in that this principle that could be established could be applied to almost any other issue. Well, Jim, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for your leadership on Capitol Hill, and thanks again for your service to our country.
It's always a pleasure. Call me whenever you need somebody on the radio. I'll always do it.
All right. Thank you,
thank
Jim.
You.
All right, folks. Thanks so much for being with us today. Let me encourage you once again, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Very important event coming up on May the 5th. You won't want to miss Stand With Scouts Sunday. Sign up your church, get a small group, get some popcorn, sit down and watch that program, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Washington, D.C. A number of experts will be on that program. And thanks again for being a part of Washington Watch. We appreciate you, and we want to leave you with these thoughts. As the Apostle Paul said, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, just stand. And when you've stood, just keep standing. Until next time, God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, a production of Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com.